This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
We're number two, and we are live. ESPN Studios, Seaport District, New York City. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott with you. Back together again. Happy New Year, 2022. And as I look down, Bart Scott, on the call screen, I see a 516 area code phone number. And that, of course, means it's only one thing. Our good friend, Mike Tannenbaum, joining
Uncle
us right
TV.
Now on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike, how you doing? I got some business to get to, but just wanted to bring you in and say good morning or good afternoon. How are you?
Gentlemen, good to be with you. Bart, Alan, Happy New Year, my friends.
Happy New Year. So we have, just for everybody to know, on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, at Bart and Hahn, we have the poll up. Who's the best quarterback of 2004 NFL draft class? It's a very New York bias, this
well,
one.
Well, let's ask Uncle TB.
Eli Manning leading the way. We have just under 500 votes right now. Eli Manning at 55.6% of the votes. Ben Roethlisberger at 35.1%. Philip Rivers has 9.2%, and one person commented, who the hell voted for Philip Rivers?
All his kids.
Don't be disrespectful. So, by the way, Dell's New Year event is here with amazing deals on XPS and Alienware laptops with Intel Core processors. Kick off 2022 with incredible savings on accessories like webcams, monitors, gaming headsets, all free shipping. Just call 800-BUY-DELL. All right, Mike, so out of those three guys, the one thing we know about them in that draft class is they're all durable. All of them played. I mean, Eli had that Iron Man streak, Philip Rivers, and then Ben Roethlisberger. There was a great staff from Joe Fortenbaugh. 86% of his games, of the Steelers games, he played in. So, and Bart said, I saw a lot of games where he played hurt. So it's a one common theme throughout those three guys. But if you're going to power rank that draft in quarterbacks, how would you do it?
Yeah, to me, it's Ben first, it's Eli second, and then Rivers. You know, you look at rings, durability, so that puts Rivers third. And I think Ben just did it for longer than Eli did. And really an incredible draft class, guys, but I would certainly put Ben number one.
So I need to get to this part of it because I'm watching the shows this morning, as I always do, and you're on today, busy day for you, Mike Tannenbaum, and you said something about Antonio Brown that really caught my attention because I've always said when people say, oh, he's done, this guy's done, I always say this, all it takes is one team. All it takes is one GM, one owner to say, you know what, let's give him another chance. Because when you have talent, you're always going to get chances. It felt like the way Antonio Brown left the field, in the way he did, that it's like nobody is touching this guy ever again. But you said that's not the case. Explain to me why Antonio Brown is not done with the NFL.
Yeah, well, and again, first of all, it's a very sad situation, and clearly he needs help, and hopefully he gets the help that he needs. And my point was that while I wouldn't necessarily sign him, but Bart was there with me, with Santonio Holmes, Braylon Edwards, which is, especially in this weird world that we're in right now, guys, where it's literally a week-to-week existence with COVID and players being eligible or not eligible. My point was GMs are going to look for opportunities to improve their team literally on a week-to-week basis. And if you took a team like Dallas, who just lost Michael Gallup, you could bring Antonio Brown, once he's a free agent from Tampa, in for a visit. You could have him meet with the leaders like Dak Prescott, and say, hey, you know what? If we're going to do something here, we're going to go day to day. We're going to pay you to practice today. If today's practice goes well, we may bring you back tomorrow. And your NFL career, if you have one, is on life support. And this may give you a chance to resurrect your career. So I'm not saying it's going to happen, but that's sort of the conversations that most teams may be having if and when they need a receiver.
So tell me this. What team do you think in the playoff hunt need to most? Do you think the Tennessee Titans, because Julio's not been healthy? If you add a guy like Antonio Brown that can stretch the field, and with King Henry coming back and you may have an extra week to prepare, do you think that's the team that needs them more, or is it another team that
Dallas is the last place I would have him? Oh, man.
Well, I certainly think Tennessee could be one, and then, you know, I think Dallas too, you know, because they lost Gallup. And again, Bart, you are a well-respected, trusted leader, and again, I would have him sit down with the leaders of the team, and it may not work. And what he did was wrong, reprehensible, quit on his team in the most public fashion. But I would, you know, from a GM perspective, if we needed a receiver for a week, that would be the process. I would bring him in, talk to him, and let the other players weigh in. They're not making the decision. But Dallas, to me, is certainly a possibility. Tennessee, and maybe if Kansas City needed a receiver, they're another one because they have a strong head coach and a strong quarterback.
It's interesting that you said this, Mike, and you know Bart very well. Again, you signed him, although to bring him to New York to play for the Jets and had great success there in doing that. And Bart was critical of Zach Wilson after Sunday's performance, you know, deciding that he was going to take himself on fourth and two. A lot of confusion about that play call and everything there. And in the post game and also on radio and on his podcast with Rex Ryan, he called out Zach Wilson for, you know, trying to play hero ball, just being selfish, right? And he has received a lot of backlash for that from some who are suggesting that, you know, he's a guy that teammates didn't really respect, that he was a guy that, you know, did a lot of things on his own too. And you knew him well. You knew him behind the scenes. Can you just tell us what kind of a – and I know Bart's here, but what kind of a guy was he behind the scenes in the organization?
Who, Bart?
Yeah.
He was everything. He was the glue to a lot of things that we were accomplished. And there's no way we would have had the playoff success without Bart. And some players, you know, their contributions show up on their stat sheet, and some show up in other places. And Bart showed up in both. And proud to be – someone that helped sign him, proud to be his teammate today.
Now, a lot of things that was put out there, it's like they tried to paint a picture because I got the fine for giving the one-finger salute to a reporter. But what they failed to continue to say was that I was protecting another reporter that reporter had made cry, who her family was in hospice, and this dude still continued to be a jerk, and I protected them. Right. And then they talked about some of the other things. And I'm not going to go tit for tat for this guy because I'm comfortable with who I've been with, anybody I've ever worked with in any organization I've ever played for. So I'm secure with that.
We'll dive deeper into that.
Yeah, we'll dive deeper into that.
Yeah. I just wanted to get Mike. So just so we had it on record, like somebody that did know you behind the scenes. But let's move on from one team in New York and go to the other one. Because so, Mike, yesterday when I was on the morning show, we have one segment that is about 8-9 minutes long. We played Joe Judge's rant, I guess I don't know other way to put it, yesterday, which I'm sure you heard parts of. And it actually lasted longer than the segment. Like it was 11 minutes long, and it just was on and on. Very demonstrative, very almost like he's trying to convince everyone that he knows what he's doing, and this is heading in the right direction. You just don't see it. But he used other examples like, we don't have players fighting on the sidelines. We're not a clown organization. It just sounded like a lot of things. You know, I don't have guys here with golf clubs in front of their locker rooms like when I first got here, getting their vacations ready like when I first got here. We're going to play hard. I guarantee we're going to play hard every game. And then he's like, if you want to boo me, I'm okay with that. You can boo me. All those things. If you had a head coach that was at the podium and is just delivering this kind of stuff after a game, how would you assess that head coach?
Yeah, you know what it is to me, and again, I'm not trying to be an armchair psychologist, but in his formative years, Joe Judge was raised by Nick Saban and Bill Belichick, and he saw the right way to do things, and he saw the right result. And I think what he was trying to say is, like, we're doing things the right way right now, but we're not seeing the right result. And I think where he's getting frustrated is, I think he's quickly seeing that the NFL is about your one-loss record, and it doesn't matter who has golf clubs in front of their locker room or not. What matters is wins and losses. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, you know, somebody who's very passionate, who cares about his job a lot, trying to, you know, vent and is probably, you know, extraordinarily frustrated because they don't take shortcuts. They work very hard and they're getting killed. You know, they're getting worse. And I'm not so sure that the December Giants beat the September Giants. And that's one of the big measuring sticks. I've been a big, big supporter of his all year long, but that was a very alarming loss. And I think what he was trying to do is say, like, hey, we're doing things the right way, hang in there with me. And in the NFL, it's a very, as we know, short-term sort of analysis, especially in New York.
That's a great way to put it.
Well, like we always say in the locker room, and, you know, a cliche that we always use, putting in the hard work and doing everything possible doesn't guarantee success. It guarantees the opportunity to have success. If you don't do those things, it guarantees that the other outcome is going to happen. You know, but, you know, going forward, you know, it's reports out there that we believe that Dave Gettleman may not come back. Now, you're a former general manager, and, you know, you're able to go out and find your coach and Rex Ryan. And we've seen a lot of arranged marriages. we saw it just recently with Adam Gase. It was reversed with Adam Gase. But you know, going forward, if you're a general manager coming in, do you want the opportunity, or do you need or demand the opportunity to go through the organization and hire people that you see fit? Because it's been a lot. We had Chris Canty on here yesterday, and he was talking about, you know, how Kevin Abrams is probably going to be promoted from within, and also that, you know, maybe the reason why they won't make the changes is because the Mariners know that they have a lot of people within their organization that are family members, and somebody coming in may say, hey, I want to replace those guys too.
Yeah, and like for me, I just know there's, look, 32 of these jobs on the planet. None of them are perfect. They all have their strengths and weaknesses. I think they would be able to get a great candidate if Coach Judge is there or not, assuming that the position is open. And I know for me, I always define the position as you need to be a leader, but you also need to be the point guard of information and sit between your owner and head coach, especially on the consequential decisions like a Daniel Jones, and say, hey, what's the best decision for us? So I think they'll get a well-qualified candidate. I think it's a great job. We know when you win in New York, there's nothing like it. And, you know, we had, you know, good success, Bart. And when you look at the great success of Eli Manning and Tom Coughlin and Phil Simms and Bill Parcells, you walk forever as a champion in this town. So I think they will have more than enough qualified candidates. And I do think it's a quick turnaround if they get the right quarterback.
Yeah, that's that says a lot too, though. But that is the biggest question. And there could be some really big names, really big names available in this offseason. All right, Mike, we'll leave it right there. Always good to catch up with you. Thanks so much.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Mike Tannenbaum again on the Goodyear Hotline. We want you to tune into ESPN Daily Podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters. It's presented by Supercuts. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily. Available wherever you enjoy your podcast. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. Let's take Jay. Jay, what's happening?
Hey, guys. How are you doing today? Good to talk to you, Bart and Alan. I have a question, and I want to see what your thoughts are. I'm here in Pittsburgh, obviously, and my local radio talk show station is, the best way to put it is unlistenable. And the reason I say that is they're homers, and which they should be because they work and live in this. But every time the Steelers lose a game or go through a rough patch, these guys always want Mike Tomlin fired.
Oh, God.
And it's amazing. It constantly, like, I can't even listen to the station. Haven't listened to it in years. I'll tune back in once or twice during the season, and it's always ripping Tomlin for this, ripping Tomlin for that. And I want to throw this out there for you guys and also for your listeners. I don't know if you're aware of this, but last night's game ensured that Mike Tomlin once again will not finish the season with a losing record.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We said that at the top of the show.
In his tenure as head coach here.
Never. 15
also,
years. Never.
Was that a losing record? If you look at the flip side, Cleveland, they ensured that they're going to have another losing season. This has been their 20th losing season since they came back in the league in 1999.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Steelers as a whole have not had – they've had seven losing seasons since 1973, their first Super Bowl year.
All right, Jay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you two things. Now, first of all, again, he's got a winning percentage right now in his career of .642 in 15 years.
Hmm.
So let's just leave
it. And two Super Bowl appearances.
And you know, it just year after year.
Three Super Bowl appearances,
yeah,
Bart.
You're right, two. And you think about this. When you think of what they went through this year, how they have a quarterback who is, it's weakened at Bernie's. I mean, they're holding him up. They just had to get Ben to the, you know, to the finish line here. He's just nothing left in the tank. He's leaking oil, right? No disrespect. Obviously, he had a great night last night. But and they get him. They get to this point where they will not have a losing season again. It's unbelievable. So the coaching job he did is great. That's one thing. The second thing is, if they're that bad, Jay, don't listen to it. You got us. Right? There's no reason to listen to him. I mean, it's sometimes
absolutely.
People have
and
to.
That's what I do.
But sometimes people have to understand. Like you're looking at your team and you're having this great success, and you have to look at some franchises and say to yourself,
who would you rather?
Where are you going to go? Like, think about what these.
Right.
We just talked about Joe Judge, who's like the fourth. How many? Right, fourth coach.
Yeah,
Third coach since Tom
McAdoo,
Coughlin,
Pat Shurmur.
Third coach since Tom Coughlin. Yeah. Like they can't find their next coach.
The Stills had three.
Three. They've had three in 6 years, and the Stills have had three in 40 years, 50 years
in their existence.
So that's the point I'm trying to make to you, Jay. Is that there's sometimes where you know what that also tells me? There are people that always blame the coach first, which tells me they don't really know what they're seeing. They don't know what's going on. They have no clue about the sport they're talking about. And that's fan speak. And there's no credibility to that, Jay. So thank you. And that's why you got us. Because you got a guy to play in the league. You got a guy to cover the league. Both of us really know how this stuff works. And a lot of times, the easy thing to do is blame the coach. Now, sometimes it's true. Mike McCarthy mismanaging the clock. We all know that moment's coming. We all know. There's smoke where there's fire.
Yep.
Some point in the next couple of weeks, we're all going to go,
cost him something.
It got him. We're all going to say it because we just see it happening. But there's also places where, and here's the other thing. When Aaron Rodgers gives you the Boba Fett nod.
Yeah.
And grins, and then you grin. Because they showed that again last night, the Manning Cast, that game earlier this season.
He loves it.
Where Aaron Rodgers tried to mess around with him. That's like, you and I are both playing chess.
Yeah.
You and I are both playing chess. Like, that's that. We're at the same level. I respect your brain. I know that you see what I see. I tried to get away. You didn't let me, and I respect that.
And that's this.
That when you see that moment alone, you know you've got the right guy.
Nobody has more respect and admiration. Like you have no idea how much people love Mike Tomlin. He's an opponent of mine, and listen, he's one of my favorite coaches. Him, Sean Payton. One of my favorite coaches of all time, man. And I got stories where we can go back and forth, but I love the way he goes about his business.
If you fire Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, you're crazy. It'd be
he's hired in 30 seconds.
Yeah. Listen, you can play that game. Who's better than? And you're gonna find yourself hard-pressed.
Oh, give me you want to go through 32 teams.
Yeah.
Would you rather have him, like Mike Tomlin, or this guy?
Exactly.
How many names would you name in the league?
You know what players – I really appreciate about Mike Tomlin, he never makes an excuse. He's so, owns everything. That's what leadership looks like. Yeah, I got to do a better job. And, he answers these questions in such a way where you're like, okay. It ain't even no follow-up. You're like, I got it.
Fantastic with the media.
Hey,
I know.
What was that when they were asking would he want to go coach somewhere else at, college or something? He's like, I'm a coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers. One of the most sorry.
Yeah, let me put a stop to this,
right now.
Yeah.
Ain't no follow-up, nothing.
Tremendous. Yeah, absolutely tremendous. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's go to Michael. Hey, Michael.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Man, y'all got a great show, man. I love it. Here's my take. I'm a Cowboy fan, and we got Prescott, and y'all been talking about Baker Mayfield, and those two guys – really never won anything in college, no titles. So if you're going to pick a guy number one, he's got to have some pedigree, some kind of paperwork to say, hey, I'm worthy of it. And they're not, man. They're just average quarterbacks.
You drafted potential. Yeah. And I'll say this, though. Josh Allen, Tom Brady
never won nothing.
barely played. And that's why also I was going to go Josh Allen. That draft class,
yeah,
all of those quarterbacks, who won? Nobody won.
Yeah.
Josh Allen didn't win that Wyoming team.
Jackson,
he was throwing to dudes that, are probably – nobody went pro.
They're pumping gas. You go see
that's
it.
What I'm
they're
saying.
Pumping gas.
I didn't want to say it, but, you don't know what they're doing. They're probably in
that.
Grad school right
exactly.
now.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? I watched all those games. I watched Wyoming that year because of him. And you look at it. I mean, Lamar
yeah,
was
– Well, Ben Roethlisberger never won anything.
No.
Eli never won anything.
Nope.
But, when you see Dak Prescott, he has the temperament to handle the job, right? The magnitude of the job. You talk about being the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys is one of the most prestigious.
What did Mahomes win? In fact, there were a lot of knocks on him and what he could be in the NFL, and he developed. You draft quarterbacks. I think this, Michael. Thanks for the call.
You got to draft leaders.
I think that's very important. I think you have to draft character, which is leadership, really. I mean, when I say character, I mean leadership, the potential to be a great leader. And IQ. I think it's important to draft somebody that is, again, playing chess.
Just
understands how that all works. Then the athleticism is a big part of the arm and all that's important.
And I like a splash of grit. I like somebody that's been through something.
Think
about Mahomes. He's been through something, right? You think about Dak Prescott, where he was at Mississippi State being drafted late. He's kind of been through something. Ben Roethlisberger overlooked, the team within his own, like Cleveland over, drafted Kellen Winslow Jr. instead of drafting him. He played in their town,
yeah.
Right? I like people with a little story like that, Lamar Jackson being overlooked, falling all the way to the end. So when they come in, they have a little edge. Now, every once in a while, you have some, you know, first overall picks, Cam, Joe Burrow, you know, those type of guys that come. But, you know, I can't
Joe
really...
Burrow's a guy that actually won.
Yeah.
And he's winning again. Like yeah. he's that... He's that rare package. I mean, Trevor Lawrence, I think, will be as well. Like, I do think – you don't see it? You don't see it?
I think he will be. It's crazy because Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow equally went to dysfunctional organizations. And it looks like Joe Burrow has started to put – Yeah, he almost got hurt last year. Yeah, he pulled him out of the abyss.
Well, you get the right coach, and that could change quickly there, all based on the quarterback. All right, we'll continue with your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You know who it is, Barton Hahn, coming to you live from above Heineken River Deck at Pier 17, right here in New York City. Coming up, you got to hear this. One of the best and worst endorsements a coach can ever give a player all in one segment. I mean, this was the ultimate. You put on a coat because it's about to get cold. But first, Bart is going to tell us about Straight Talk Wireless.
Straight Talk Wireless. How about that, Straight Talk? Cutting the price of your wireless bill feels good, really good. Actually, it feels great. You should try it. So you should cut your bill by switching to Straight Talk Wireless, now offering a $45 silver unlimited plan with 5 gigabytes of hotspot and nationwide 5G, all on America's largest, most dependable network. For $45 silver unlimited plan from Straight Talk Wireless, Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. A month equals 30 days. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G compatible device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speeds may vary. Back after this with your calls and audio files.
The College Football National Championship. Presented by AT&T. The top-ranked Alabama Crimson Tide look to repeat as national champions when they face Kirby Smart's third-ranked Georgia Bulldogs. Coverage begins Monday at 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Hahn.
It's beautiful out today, but it's it brick? Is it brick? Am I using it right? Is it brick today?
It's almost brick. Yesterday, it's not brick. Yesterday was whoa.
Yesterday was brick.
Yo, I was on. You know, I got my little scooter. Yo, man, it was cutting through. I got baby cashmere on the inside of my coat, and it was cutting through it. The baby cashmere was like, bang, and it ain't even a lamb.
Why is it baby cashmere? What's baby cashmere? I didn't know cashmere was like aged.
Yes, yeah, baby cashmere.
Baby cashmere.
All right.
That's like Corinthian leather.
It's right there. You want me to bring it in so I can show everybody what baby cashmere looks like?
While you bring it in, so I want to feel this baby cashmere. I want to know what's different about cashmere and baby cashmere. Meanwhile, if you haven't noticed, it's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, and we are presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. Baby cashmere. This is cashmere. Okay.
Baby cashmere. Aha! Well, touch it.
Wait a minute. That's
what did that say right there?
It feels
cashmere.
So good. It does say baby cashmere. It's so luxurious.
It was cutting through it.
Can I get a blanket like this?
It was brick yesterday.
Yeah, it was brick yesterday.
You know what I'm saying?
I was touching the wrong part of that jacket too.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm realizing like that's the part where if you were wearing the jacket, you'd be sitting on it. Yeah. Like, what am I doing?
Told you, baby cashmere. It's the thing.
Where's some of that stuff Jalen had? I'm going to put that on.
I don't listen.
Hand.
This is like, I don't know if this is like this? KY gel or if it's hand sanitizer.
So
it was super slippery, man. It took a long time to. It ain't enough alcohol content in there, man.
So this says hand sanitizer gel. We're all trying to be very responsible here in the studio. Hey, we wear masks when we walk outside. But, you know, so we came back in from being outside, and we thought, let's get some hand sanitizer on. And it doesn't evaporate.
It was just oily. I'm like, man, this feels like some other water-based stuff that I've seen.
It's very slick.
Jalen, I don't know what the hell in this damn bottle.
I don't know if it's Jalen. I don't know if it's Jacoby or somebody else.
Oh, this is Jacoby's side, too.
Maybe, is it? Yeah, is it? No, this is Jalen's side.
No, because Jacoby always – yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was over here because Jacoby always complains, say, I broke his seat because it squeaks now. Get some WD-40.
Mine was squeaking, too.
Whoopsies.
Oops.
Yeah. I did sit in yours.
We break stuff. You did sit in it yesterday? That's right, you did. You and Field Yates on the show yesterday. But you know what? The gong's not broken, and it's been a while, but you know what time it is? You know what time
it is. The first one of the year.
Yes, the first of 2022.
Oh, it is a I jumped it. You had that Bill Cartwright free throw shot where you double clutch and you made me jump over the line. All right, let's set it up. Set up again.
We spend the first half of the show talking about all the headlines, having the headline makers do the talking right now in a segment we like to call
Audio Vows.
Audio Vows.
That's how you start the year. Who knows? That's how you go.
I mean, I nailed that goal.
That's how you go. Who knows? That's how you go.
We need a drop. We need the Hercules drop. Hercules. We need that drop. So if we can work on that, Dev, I appreciate you, man. Meanwhile, Ben Roethlisberger walked off the field at Heinz Field. He went around. He was high-fiving fans. He got the ovation he deserved. Walk off a winner. He got to take that, you know, the victory formation. The greatest play in football.
And they got the interception late to do the victory formation.
How big was that, right? Like, it wasn't as if they were going to let the Browns run it out or at least try to score. So, again, all things for Ben Roethlisberger is about nostalgia and the end for him in Pittsburgh and what it was a great career. It certainly feels like it's going to end here, whether it's not next week in Baltimore, maybe if they do somehow make the playoffs, it'd be there. But this is it for him. And so when you think about Ben Roethlisberger's legacy in the history of the Pittsburgh Steelers franchise, which, of course, has a great legacy, someone that certainly understands is Bill Cowher. And he talked about what Big Ben represents.
You know, Eli, I mean, he just represents what a Steeler is, right? The grit, determination, he's embraced every challenge that's been thrown at him. And just watching him grow, I only had him his first 3 years, but, you know, we were able to accomplish a lot. And just to get to know, he's just such a great competitor. And I thought all three of you guys, that draft class that we had with you, Eli, you and Philip and Ben, I said, all you guys, the one thing about you guys were four-year college players. And the maturity level that you guys all had, you came into it, you understood the game, and you were just great students of the game, and just, you know, and your records and your all speak for themselves.
It's Bill Cowher again, he's talking, the Hall of Famer, he's talking with the Manning brothers, and that's why he represents you three, meaning the draft class that Eli Manning was part of in 2004. And the one thing I said, the one common theme between the three, Philip Rivers, Eli, and Big Ben, they were all available to their teams. Yeah. And that's something, if you can have your quarterback there all the time, you certainly have a chance.
Is this class better than the 85 class? No, this is all your fault. Just do your thing.
No, but it's a good question to ask.
Maybe we'll
pose Super Bowl.
Later.
Super Bowl-wise, you got four of them.
Yeah.
Out of those two, whereas it's the 83.
Kelly.
You're talking about the 83 class, right? Like, that's
Marino, Kelly.
That went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But only Elway, right, is the only one that has two.
So.
Yeah, he's got the two. So, all right. Meanwhile, speaking of quarterbacks, okay, so when you don't have a franchise quarterback, or at least your franchise quarterback's not available for you to play, and you haven't made the playoffs, and you're playing out the rest of the season, and there's 1 week to go, you would think, probably want to get a young guy in, let's get a rookie quarterback in, let's get a look at him. If you use a third-round pick on a quarterback, like the Vikings did with Kellen Mond, you're kind of thinking, all right, you know, what does it matter? Let's get a look at him, give him some game action. You saw a little bit of action. Yeah. For Sean Mannion against the Packers did not work out well. Really didn't play that much. So Mike Zimmer was asked after the game, could we expect to see Kellen Mond play week 18? And Zimmer's response was one that, let's just say, you would never want to hear a coach react this way about you.
Do you think you want to get a look at Mond next week?
Not particularly. See him every day.
You know what? I don't know.
I mean,
is that what LaFleur says about Jordan Love? Jordan Love is. I'd rather not.
I mean, just like, and if you didn't hear the reporter's question, the first one was, would you want to get a look at Mond in week 18?
Season's over. It's over. You lost.
Not particularly. You don't. And then and it's like,
just throw Kirk Cousins out there, pretend to get hurt, have off-season surgery. Way to go.
You know, don't you really want to see him? I see him every day. That kind of lets you know I've seen enough.
Oh,
Zimmer did today, or yesterday, though, explain what he meant. Remember, that was post-game. And he said that he's a third-string, third-team quarterback. He has improved. He's improved throughout the year. He's got a chance to be a good player, but he's third on the depth chart. So that's it. And he goes, and you asked me the question 10 minutes after a game, so that's part of it as well.
Well, Zimmer...
But it really doesn't...
Yeah, Zimmer's under pressure.
Oh, he knows.
He could be losing his job.
Right, like, so what does he
care? It's kind of run his course, so he's like... He's probably trying to say, no, I'm trying to make sure that my win record is good enough so that I can still fight for my job. I'm not trying to give a win away. Hell no.
I don't know about
that.
I see
him every day.
7-9 ain't going to help you at this point. One more to do, and this one wasn't on the schedule, but I'm adding it for those who might have joined us late. After last night's game, you know, there was an end result to this, not just that the Steelers are going to clinch with Mike Tomlin yet another season where they at least – are not going to be a losing team. He's never had a losing record, and last night's win clinches that. But what does it clinch for the Browns? Something that Bart Stradamus told us was going to happen months ago at the start of the season when no one believed him. Here's Bart Scott on Get Up preseason.
The Cleveland Browns don't make the playoffs. Yeah, clip this clip. I said it, 2 tears in a bucket.
Wow. Let me bring the rest of the crew in on that because that is quite... That is a hot take. I mean, that candidly, that is a scoring
what do you
for
think?
Cleveland Browns.
Yes. Don't catch on fire, D-Wood. Don't stand too close.
Go ahead. Lewis seems fired up. What do you think?
The Browns making the playoffs now. The Browns making the playoffs. They're one of the wild card teams, if not the division winner. It's going to be between them and Baltimore in the North.
But Lewis, listen, Lamar Jackson got off the porta potty and beat them last year. How you little man get off the porta potty? He still had wet wipes.
Ha-ha! Hey, man, Deion
Warwick. There you go.
Deion Warwick, eat your heart out. Call me now.
Madam Cleo. That was impressive. You saw it. It happened. And, man, if you're a Cleveland Browns fan, we are sorry. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Coming up, the waiting may soon be over. For one of the longest soap operas in sports, it might finally come to an end. Our long national nightmare could be over, at least for part of the time. We'll explain coming up next. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
They said we were nuts back in the fall of 1979, saying that all sports 24 hours a day would make it on TV. And now you say we're nuts trying to start ESPN Radio? We're dead serious. We know you like us on TV, and if you do, you'll love us on radio.
30 years and counting. This is ESPN Radio.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Welcome back, Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Bart, this would have been the end of the season, as we've mentioned before, but we do have one more week to go. But still, as the power rankings come out, the latest now rankings for this last week of the season, and this is determined by ESPN. You have 80 writers, editors, TV personalities. They all kind of give you all their takes on each team, and then they put all that together, and it ranks all the teams. So if you were going to put a team at number one in the NFL right now as far as power ranking goes, who would that team be?
You got to go with Green Bay.
Yes.
Because it's just been looked the right way.
Yeah, they moved up from number two. So number two is the team that was number one last week.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
No, that would be the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh.
All right. So that's where they're at. Uh-huh. And it's, again, you could see that. Now, the Bucs now are sitting three. They moved up from four. And that's really, if you're looking at your three teams that are your Goliaths, that's what you got. right? Those are your Goliaths. Everybody after that has flaws.
Great wild card.
That you could feel like, yeah, they could make a run, but they got to get things right. And it starts with the Rams. They're at four.
That's surprising because
they moved up too.
The Ravens gave them everything they could handle.
I'm telling you, they moved up from five to four, and I agree with you.
Four from five. I mean, how many backups the Ravens got? You only put up 20 points.
Matthew Stafford took a whole half to get himself right.
Another pick six.
Second half, he was great.
Another pick six.
Yeah, but it takes him a while to get started, and I know part of the problem is because that's another game where they started early for them as an LA team. The team that's fifth, and this is the one we haven't mentioned this team yet. They are the top of the AFC, and I don't think they're getting all the credit they should get. Harry Douglas's Tennessee Titans. Man, yeah. Tennessee Titans.
They're scary, but
at fifth in the power rankings, how you feel about that?
Because a quarterback scares you, man. Like, he's not a guy. He's just a guy. You know what I mean? He's not.
Yeah, but he knows he's just a guy. That's better. But Baker Mayfield doesn't know he's just a guy.
He's not a dude. You know what I'm saying? He's a guy, not a dude.
I get it. I get it. I get it. But still, if you know you're getting Derrick Henry back, and that you are,
but he's running straight.
You are a physical force on both sides of the line of scrimmage. You are, right? You admit that, right? Both lines are going to beat you up. They play a style that can win in cold weather this time of year, and in the playoffs.
But can they win a style if they fall behind two scores?
That's what you're worried about?
Because Julio's not available. Remember, he said all this stuff about how he was everybody said I got injury prone. Ha ha. Man, this dude hurt.
Yeah.
That's why I said maybe you make a deal with the devil, go get Antonio Brown.
All right. So you've got them at five. Buffalo is sitting six.
They should be higher.
So you trust them? You do?
I trust them more than the Rams.
Are they getting right after in the middle of the year you felt a little weird? Like that win, I feel like the win over the Patriots sort of.
Retribution.
Yeah, let you know. That's not an easy place to win.
Even though that was without Stevenson, the dude that ran all down their chest. But,
that's a good point. Dallas at seven, Arizona at eight,
Arizona
Patriots at nine, Bengals at 10. How do you feel about the Bengals? Do you think they could be that sneaky team? Again, the AFC is like.
Listen, if it matched up today, I forget who they would match up with, but I would make them favorite. I think they match up against the Colts if they go. I mean, you can see them meet the Colts because if they get up ahead, then the Colts can't catch up. They can't win a firefight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they may be able to go to the second round just
if
because
you were
going to
put your money on a wild card team out of the top 10 I just gave you, would it be on the Bengals? If you had to pick a wild card team,
well, they're
going to
win a division, so they're not really a wild card.
No, I don't mean wild card as far.
Are you saying
like,
first week one?
Like they're not a favorite,
right?
But
right.
Would you say I didn't mean a wild card.
Okay, gotcha.
I meant it as
I like San Francisco's Jimmy G can get healthy.
They're 11.
Running the ball is scary, and the Colts.
All right, so
because it's only a couple.
I'm looking at the Patriots as that team as well. Who's that team for you? At Barton Hahn, we'll see you in 10 seconds.
Making Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports.
Oh, yeah. Hey, baby. It's Bart Scott Allen Hahn.
Yeah, buddy.
ESPN Radio.
I know you missed us, so let's get our groove back on. I know we just left, and I'm coming to deliver the pizza. Extra beef.
Where did that come from? I've come to deliver the pizza. What was that?
Somebody order extra beef.
I'm going to tear you apart. And your friend, too. Oh, man.
Classic.
Let's talk a little NBA here real quick, though, Bart. There is a little bit of news, by the way. Adam Schefter reporting. Kevin Stefanski told reporters Baker Mayfield is going to be out for the final game of the season on Sunday for the Browns. So his season now is officially over and is officially, for him, it's got to be maddening.
It's a lost season.
And for him, don't even think about contracts. Don't even think about it. Yeah. Like just you take that fifth year, go into it, and just try to be better and then earn your way to an extension because he's now officially playing for his job.
Yeah, he's on the clock.
I mean, if you're the Browns, you can't possibly give him an extension off this year. You can't do that.
No. You got to play this out because last thing you want to do is get the wrong guy at the wrong price, and it's going to cripple your organization when you got to pay all those quarterbacks.
Even if he took less. What if he said, you know what? No. I'll even take less.
Well, it better be $25 million.
Well, that's a lot less.
Well, $30 million.
Yeah.
I give him $30 because he's just a guy because I got to.
I don't know, man. If I'm him. I might want to play my cards right.
6 years for 180? You better shut up. 6 years for 180, you better shut the hell up. That's what Kirk Cousins got.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it just, it always is about the guarantees anyway in this sport, right?
I ain't guaranteeing you nothing past 3 years. I'm going to guarantee you 90. Uh-huh. And if you keep balling, you can get the other 90.
Well, on the NBA side of things, when we talk about making some moves, the Nets, so they've lost three in a row. And by the way, Ja Morant and the Grizzlies, we don't talk about them enough. Ja Morant is special. The Grizzlies, what they've done with that team, they got a nice team.
Who did they trade last year to Chicago? Was it Valanciunas?
No, that was Vucevic, who was traded from Orlando.
Okay.
Yeah.
But didn't they make a move with one of their big men last year?
I think you're right. Yeah, Valanciunas was a guy. But on the Nets side of things, though, they didn't trade for anyone, but they are adding a player, and a significant one. Mm-hmm. And suddenly their whole attitude has changed towards Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
They say it's because of necessity, because they've had a lot of players out due to COVID.
Yeah.
But they're getting all their players back. And yet, tomorrow night, it looks like Kyrie Irving will make his debut in Indiana against the Pacers. And he will make his season debut. He's said to be in great shape. He's been playing, been practicing. They're happy to have him back. I think this is about Kevin Durant basically saying, I can't play 38 minutes a night and score 30 a night and be where I need to be in May and June.
You're going
to
lose him.
Because he's over 30, as you know. So I think this is when he talks about when Sean Marks talks about the necessity of bringing Kyrie in. Now remember, Kyrie cannot play in the home games. He can't play in the home games.
It doesn't look like that's going to change because it looks like the new mayor, incoming mayor,
Eric Adams, took over on January 1st, and he's not changing the plan
about private business.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's not changing the plan. So Kyrie can't play in any of the games at Barclays, and he can't play in any of the games at the Garden when they played the Knicks. They still have three games left against the Knicks. So Kyrie can only play on the road. But it might be just all that Kevin Durant needs.
Yep.
This is not about
you got a low
we
match.
Want yeah. Kyrie to play. This is about we need Kevin to rest.
Right. Because
there's too much on him and Harden. And we know Harden can break down if he plays too much.
Yeah, remember Harden when he used to have to carry those Houston Rockets teams and he just looked like a shell of himself whenever he got to the postseason because it was iso ball. You got to give him a blow. Right?
Yeah.
And Kyrie's going to have a lot to live up to because – he put his team in a bad spot. So he's got to come back and be great. He has to be the player that they expect him to be and carry the team. He's got to be the captain now.
Right.
When he's up, you're the captain.
But he's half a season almost that he has been resting, so he can play a lot of those minutes that he is available to play with no excuses because when they come home, he can't play.
He should be so rested.
He
better not get a soft tissue injury. You're always concerned when guys have long holdouts. They say they're in great shape and their weight and everything suggests that. But then when you go out and you're playing live ball – and it's you don't know where you're going.
Yeah,
please don't have a soft tissue injury early, and then it's a waste.
Yeah, you don't want that. But again, the point is that the Nets were running away with the East. The Bulls have played great, so now all of a sudden they've got the Bulls pushing them for the top spot in the East. If the Nets want to win a championship, they've got to get to the finish line, and to do that, they need all three of their stars playing. And even if it's part time, it's something. But some people are calling out the Nets for being a bit hypocritical with this. All right, we say goodbye to ESPN Plus. We continue on ESPN Radio next. Barton Hahn.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.